In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Gospel of St. Luke and the Feast of St. Michael and All Angels have one thing in common: the angelic war in heaven. Now, this is not a military war, but it is a moral and legal one. Satan stands as our adversary in the heavenly courts prosecuting humanity. And as long as there are sinners to accuse, Satan will take his place as our accuser. Now, since this war is not military, the battle is won not on the battlefield, but in the courtroom, where Michael is portrayed as the defense attorney, pleading the sacrifice of Christ for the sins of the whole world against the deceiver of the whole world. And the victory is Christ's, the slaughtered Lamb of God, who is at the same time the conquering Lion of Judah. In Luke 10, when those disciples returned with great joy over their ability to subdue demons in the name of Jesus, they did not understand Jesus when he said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." You see, the disciples were unaware of this angelic war being waged in heaven on their behalf. And naively, they thought that their joy was based on their power over those demons. They would soon realize that true festive joy comes from knowing that your names are written in heaven. The ministry of Jesus would open their eyes to this angelic war, and it would open their eyes through the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Now, that war in heaven is described in the 12th chapter of Revelation, the first reading. Michael, the archangel, the great prince of God's chosen people, Israel's advocate and champion, this Michael now leads God's armies and God's angels in battle against Satan and his armies, who are trying to threaten and destroy God's chosen child, the Messiah. The conflict is over the fate of man. But the assault of Satan and his angels is doomed to failure. And St. John says it so simply and so completely. They were defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. Now, why were Satan and his angels defeated? Why can Jesus say to the 72, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven"? Well, the key words in John's revelation are these: "Now and henceforth, the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death." The reason for the defeat of Satan is the slaughter of the Lamb. The accuser can accuse us no longer, for Christ, by his perfect life and by his all-atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world, he now has taken away the guilt of the world. He now has removed all grounds of accusation against humanity. The floodgates are now open, and God's grace and God's mercy and God's forgiveness now flow forth in abundance upon the world because the Lamb has been slain and raised again. The voice of the accuser is forever silenced. But how can sinners be declared innocent by another's death? Only if that death, the death of the Son of God, somehow becomes our death. For did not St. Paul say, "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus"? But his death is now our death. For when we entered into those holy waters of baptism, we plunged into his death. And then we rose in his resurrection to a newness of life. We are now his children, conformed in his image, born in his church. And we have conquered the accuser by his blood, by the blood of the Lamb. Now this returns us to Luke 10 and the words of Jesus. And those words are for us here at this seminary as we recognize that the war is still won through our testimony about the blood of the Lamb. As Jesus watches Satan fall like lightning from heaven, he is simply summing up the effects of the mission of the 72. In their preaching and in their healing, in their activity of proclaiming Christ and his gospel, there was victory over Satan and his angelic armies. And even the disciples recognized that when they came back and they said, "The demons are subject to us in your name." Now the disciples needed to remember that as Jesus sent them out into the harvest as lambs in the midst of wolves. Twice Jesus tells them when he sends them out in that mission that they are to declare to the world that the kingdom of God draws near to you. In the very preaching of those 72 disciples, the kingdom of God became a present reality and the kingdom of Satan was firmly defeated. The presence of Christ in their proclamation of redemption to a lost and dying world declared to that world that Christ's kingdom triumphed, that his cross will absorb the world's sins. And they should not fear, says Jesus. For even though Satan will try to assault them for their proclamation, he will not harm them. Jesus' promise is sure. This is also our proclamation. In our preaching of a renewed and restored world through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God draws near. Every Sunday as we gather together around the presence of Christ, the presence of his flesh, it is through the cleansing of the font, the preaching of the word, the feasting upon his body and blood at the table that he sets for us, that we declare to ourselves, to the people of God, that the victory is theirs, that the accuser accuses no more, that all sins are forgiven. But Jesus does, however, direct the disciples' attention away from their sensational success to thoughts, to contemplation about their heavenly status. The power that those disciples had to tread on scorpions and serpents, their power over the devil, should not puff them up over their visible achievements, because this is how Satan will attack them. This is how he will attempt to harm them. No, rather, Jesus says, their focus must be, their attention must be fixed on the fact that their names are written in God's book of life, along with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the saints of old. Through baptism, our names are written in heaven too, and we are continuously preserved in that status through the word of testimony and the feast of eternity. And this is the reason for our joy. This is the reason for the joy of anyone who hears and believes that the angelic war in heaven has been won. And therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we declare with Saint John, "Rejoice then, O heaven, and you who dwell therein." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.